Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this day. Thanks again for this second Sunday of Advent. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning. And we pray all this and only in Jesus' name, saying, amen. All right, so Advent, four Sundays before Christmas. Advent means, in Latin, it means coming. And this is a time when we wait and we watch for the coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak. And so our Advent Christmas series is sort of generally entitled Ain't Family Grand. And what we're trying to do this year is honestly acknowledge the joys and the challenges of this season that we share with family, but not just family, but with friends and coworkers as well. And so this morning we're kind of combing through little bits of the entire infancy narratives, the Christmas stories, which are found in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, and kind of putting together a theme for this morning as well. Why? Because if you look through the Christmas stories, it's filled to the brim with all kinds of people, well-meaning but imperfect people, imperfect families, trying to figure it out. Different kinds of relationships are found in the birth stories of Jesus, as well as telling us about his purpose and his mission. So last Sunday, you'll remember, we talked about the Matthean genealogy, which is usually forgotten about in the Christmas stories because it's a list of barely, scarcely pronounceable names. But what we found is that Jesus' family line is filled with all kinds of unsavory and scandalous people. May be surprising to you. Five different women are mentioned, and there's some sort of scandal associated with them in the history of Jesus' line. We've got all kinds of wicked male kings who do all kinds of sordid things. The women, include a kind of familial incest, prostitution, adultery, foreigner involvement, and an out-of-wedlock pregnancy. Merry Christmas. How about the kings? Practice polygamy, every form of idolatry, shocking wickedness, including child sacrifice, as well as spiritual apostasy. And you thought your family was embarrassing. Jesus was family, the point is, was even worse. I would place a large bet with an Irish bookie that your most scandalous family member only would look like a Boy Scout and a girl or a Girl Scout compared to Jesus' family. So you should be encouraged this season. If you look at Jesus' genealogy, it could function as a family rap sheet. That's what we talked about last week. Ain't family grand. So I want to continue in that theme. I want to bring it a little closer to home, maybe a little kinder, perhaps more winsome way. And this is what I want to suggest and encourage this morning, that each and every one of us should prayerfully consider, patiently practice the following idea. Love the ones that God has given you. How about that one? Right? If we're really honest, we've all looked wistfully elsewhere at other families at one time or another and thought, why can't I have a family like that? Right? I wish I had a cousin like that. I wish I had a sister like that. I wish upon a star, so will all my dreams now come true? Oh, wait, that was Oprah. Oh, it was Jiminy Cricket, 1947, 48, right? Oh, wait, that's the gospel according to Disney, not the gospel according to Jesus Christ, right? He hates Jiminy Cricket. Yes, send all your hate mail to the deacon, Wayne. Some people that just say, the only thing I got out of that message is that he hates Disney. Not exactly true. If we're really honest, right, the grass always appears greener on the other side. Now, I said appears, because really, most of us, we could never know the real details of any particular family, right? You might be surprised. You might be shocked. I thought I wished that my family was like that. Maybe I don't, right? Maybe we should take a cue from the Thanksgiving season, for the Advent season. Remember, maybe we should adopt a what? An attitude of gratitude for and love the ones that God has already given us. How about that? Huh, right? We've all got, how about embracing the existing families God has given us? You know, you know, the people that other people might consider eccentric, bizarre, difficult, or just plain weird, you know you got at least one of those in your family, probably several, actually. So let's be honest, kind of like the time. When someone said to a friend in a very unkindly sort of way during the Advent season, the Christmas season, the problem isn't that obesity runs in your family, the problem is that no one runs in your family. To which the friend replied, well, it's not that alcoholism runs in your family, it's that it drives. Merry Christmas. Oh, my. You know, as it used to be said commonly, there's a skeleton or two in everyone's closet. You know, someone or some people you'd rather not other people know that you're related to, kind of like junior high kids. Remember when they were embarrassed to be seen with their parents? Remember that one? Huh. Have we ever really noticed that the Christmas stories with your Bibles open, if you just scan Matthew 1 and 2, Matthew's stories, they're filled with all kinds of crazy, even highly dysfunctional relationships? Now, we already talked about the scandalous women. We already talked about the wicked kings and Jesus' family line, a family line that would make even a sailor blush, I think. And then think about poor Joseph, who was said to have been a righteous man who all of a sudden found that his fiancée was pregnant and it wasn't by him. Oh my. Or as Macaulay Culkin did in Home Alone, ah! Remember that? Then there's those strange foreign magi. You know, magi is, we get our word magician from magi. They traveled halfway across the Middle East to worship the newly born king of the Jews, followed by a furious and false king named Herod, who murdered the entire population of little boys of, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Trying to take out the Lord Jesus? That's a Christmas story. Then there's an exile in godless Egypt and followed by a furtive flight to Nazareth. Oh, the scandal. Oh, ain't family grand. Now, comedian Shane Gillis has a hilarious shtick about this, growing up with his Uncle Tommy. There he is. This guy cracks me up. He had an uncle, or sorry, Uncle Danny. Uncle Danny still has Down syndrome, which he said, of course, for the parents, it was tough at first trying to figure that out. But Shane embraced the hilarious side of it, saying this, not meaning to be unkind, it's actually funny. He said, because people would come up to him and say, oh, your uncle has Downs, is he okay? He's like, yeah, he's doing better than the rest of us, right? He said, you know, autistic people are like cats. They're kind of skittish, they need their space. You gotta give them their space, let them, you know, get to know you. He said, Downs people are like dogs. They're fun-loving, they wanna jump right in. Hey, you wanna go for a walk, you wanna do something? That's what Downs people like, he said, like his Uncle Danny. He said this, while the rest of the world is addicted to booze and Adderall, his Uncle Danny is addicted to Capri Sun juice boxes. Not a bad thing to... Oh, and grilled cheese sandwiches. Evidently, Uncle Danny, according to Shane, would sneak pre-made grilled cheese sandwiches into restaurants just in case they weren't on the menu. Hey, Uncle Danny, what are you doing? Stop it, Shane. Don't disrespect me, I'm your uncle. Sorry, Uncle Danny. Ain't family grand. Why not love the ones that God has given you this Advent season? Now, okay, if you turn to Luke chapters 1 and 2, those other Christmas stories, we find that Dr. Luke gives us, you know, three times the number of stories. There's a lot more there. And on first look, what do we have? We have John the Baptist, who will later eat locusts and wild honey. You ever family members eating bugs? Children eating worms, remember those? Now, I have it on good authority. People who actually eat these things have told me. They say, when you eat a locust, you gotta pull off the back legs because they get stuck in your throat. Just news you can use. Just little bacon bits of trivia just in case. You don't know what they're going to give you this year, especially if you have African or Korean friends. Yeah. Well, we also have, you know, John the Baptist is given to an older couple, you know, kind of like Abraham and Sarah. We have that story. The Messiah is promised to an unwed mother. There's a hasty visit to compare notes and pregnancies between Mary and her older cousin Elizabeth. There are four Christmas songs, and then there's an old man snatching the baby Jesus out of Mary's arms. Did you notice he never asked?
Can I hold the baby?
You know, he can't hold the baby. He just grabs it anyway. In the temple, he blesses God, and then he prophesies the excruciating pain that she will experience over the course of the life of her child, Jesus. Wow, those are the Christmas stories? Those are the Christmas stories. If we've learned anything over the years about Christmas, have you noticed gifts can arrive in the most unexpected and strangest packages imaginable? Right? Such is the story of one of my favorite Christian figures in America today, Bishop Robert Barron. I like Bishop Barron. The good bishop tells the touching story of his Uncle Tommy. He says this, he said, Uncle Tommy fought in World War II and he came home with significant PTSD. He never got married, he lived with his folks, and he struggled to hold down a job. But the kids of the family absolutely loved and adored Uncle Tommy. He coached the kids in sports, spun Irish yarns, and was an avid church goer. He once told his nephew Robert this. He said, Robert, are you still just a priest? Take a look at your uncle, at your brother John. He runs the entire Chicago Tribune newspaper syndicate. Maybe you can do something with your life, says Uncle Tommy. His great nephews and nieces loved him deeply, and Uncle Tommy died a few years ago on New Year's Day while walking to church. Seems that he was hit by a car driven by a Jewish rabbi on the way to synagogue. It's a true story. People, time is short. This Advent Christmas season, why don't you just love the ones that God has given you, while also saying, ain't family grand? You can do both, right? All of us have an Uncle Danny. All of us have an Uncle Tommy in our families. Someone whose life doesn't seem normal or doesn't seem put together or maybe went off the rails somewhere. Someone who's eccentric, strange, just plain weird in the world's eyes. So what then do families, especially Jesus's family, teach us? Here's a big point. We don't always get to choose the ones we love, but as Christians, we're given people to whom we are called to love. God is giving us, through our families, the people that he wants us to love. This is kind of a tough message, maybe a little bit, for this season. Let me say that again. We don't always get to choose the ones that we love, but as Christians, we're given people to whom we are called to love. God is giving us, through our families, the people that he wants us to love. You see, part of what makes families holy in God's sight is that God has given us the capacity to not only love the ones we like or the ones we choose, but also the ones that the Lord has given us to love. You know, you may have family members that you would have never chosen or whatever. So what? Love them anyway in Jesus' name, right? And God will do a work in your life. If you look through all the infancy narratives, the Christmas stories, Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, we discover some important spiritual truths for our lives, right? When the Word, Jesus, became flesh, have you ever thought about it? He entered into a family, right? God gave his only begotten son to Joseph and Mary to love and raise. Have you thought about that? That's absolutely stunning. God gave his only begotten son to very imperfect people to do his work. Wow. Huh, that struck me this week. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe, just maybe, Joseph had an Uncle Danny who used up all the bread and cheese in the house to make a stack of grilled cheese sandwiches only to be hidden away in his bedroom? We don't know. But I think sometimes we think of them as perfect, don't we? Did it ever dawn on you to consider that maybe, just maybe, Mary had an Uncle Tommy whose life had gone off the rails somewhere, but was greatly loved by all the kids who eagerly clamored around him during the holiday season? We can only imagine what an extended family holiday gathering looked like for Jesus. Might be worth thinking about. You know, we think everything's holy and everybody's quiet, you know, and it's German, so the children are seen and not heard and all that good stuff. I doubt it. It was a Jewish family. I promise you it wasn't that, right? Huh. All the while, Mary and Joseph are raising and loving Jesus, as well as this entire family. I mean, have you noticed the last story in Luke 2? This cracks me up. Here's a good example. They all go off to the temple, Jesus is 12 and whatever, and they leave and they forget Jesus. He's left behind in the temple. Today we would call DCFS. This is an unfit mother and father. What is going on? They get out a day and a half, and there's nowhere, where's Jesus? Well, part of the thing is they went in a big group, so everybody looked after each other. Were you part of a family that if you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home? If you mouthed off to an auntie or an uncle, you got whacked, and you deserved it. And then when your parents found it, you got whacked again. Anybody grow up like that? Uh-huh, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Well, can I get a witness? Yes, many, evidently. So they turn around a day and a half out, and they're freaking out, and they find Jesus where? In the temple teaching the teachers at age 12. And Mary says, what? Jesus, don't you're freaking us out. Why did you do this to us? And Jesus doesn't get it. He said, don't you know I have to be in my Father's house? You didn't know that? I wonder the talking to he got. I wonder what happened on the way out of Jerusalem temple. If you lost your child for a day and a half, maybe some of you are like, praise God, I hope the gypsies got him. That's the second or third child. But if it's your first child, you're going to be freaking out. These stories in the Bible are nuts. They're hilarious, right? We've already talked about Jesus' shady and eccentric family tree. Would it be so difficult to imagine that Jesus had his share of difficult family members just like everyone else? Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, saw fit to enter into just such a family. Quirky, eccentric, difficult, sometimes mean, and sometimes just plain weird. And you know what? God loved them. And yes, ain't family grand. But what if this Advent season, this Christmas season, you simply chose to love the ones that God has given you? So ladies, if a guy remembers your birthday, saves your pictures, knows what you enjoy and understands your family and friends, ladies, this guy is not your man. He owns Facebook. His name is Mark Zuckerberg. He knows everything about you. You might want to be concerned. Just saying. That's why we're called to love those that God has given us to love, not just the ones we like or choose. That's easy. So say a prayer for your Uncle Danny this Christmas. Thank the Lord for your Uncle Tommy in your life that you are called to love, because that's God's way. Amen? Amen. Yeah, and do it, even if you have an Uncle Johnny who insists on Christmas Eve that he's addicted to drinking brake fluid, and he can stop anytime he wants. Ow. All right. And in closing, you people are slow. You know, nobody had coffee today? You were drinking brake fluid, weren't you? So remember this Advent Christmas season to do this, to love the ones that God has given you. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Advent Christmas season. And we confess that sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes we have strange and bizarre family members, ones we don't even really want to be around. But Lord, we say a prayer for them today, and we say thank you for them. And we want to love the ones that you have given us this season, and throughout the year, actually. Thank you for Jesus' strange family, for in that we find hope. And we pray all this only and always in Jesus' name, saying, amen.